going bra shopping at age 52 gives new meaning to the phrase fallen woman, I announced as I gazed at my reflection.
Oh, Jessie, you always say that.
Candy poked her head around the dressing room door and took a peek at the royal blue contraption she was trying to sell me.
Gosh, that looks great. It's very flattering.
I lifted an unconvinced eyebrow.
Oh, Candy, you always say that.
No, really. I hope my figure looks that nice when I'm old. Okay, so I took that as a compliment and agreed to buy the silly bra. And before she even mentioned them, I also asked for the matching panties. To know my neighbor, Candy Pop, is to have a drawer full of completely inappropriate and often alarming lace, silk, and satin undergarments. I got dressed and went out to the floor.
Temptation at twilight giving you trouble? She asked as she rang me up.
Candy hasn't known me long, but she does know me well. And she's figured out I show up at Tate's whenever writer's block strikes. I sighed dramatically. Plot plight.
But you know you never have issues for very long, Jessie.
She wrapped my purchases in pink tissue paper and placed them in a pink Tate's shopping bag. Even after your divorce, remember? You came in, bought a few nice things, and went on home to finish Windswept Whispers. She offered an encouraging nod. So go home, put on this bra, and start writing. I did as I was told, but wearing the ridiculous blue bra didn't help after all. The page on my computer screen remained stubbornly blank, no matter how hard I stared at it. I was deciding there must be better ways to spend a Saturday night when a knock on the door pulled me out of my funk. Maybe it's Prince Charming, I said to my cat. Snowflake seemed skeptical, but I got up to answer anyway.
Funny thing, it really was Prince Charming.
I opened my door to find Candy Pop's handsome-to-a-fault fiancé standing in the hallway. But Stanley wasn't looking all that handsome. Without bothering to say hello, he pushed me aside, stumbled toward the couch, and collapsed. Prince Charming was sick. I rushed over to where he had invited himself to lie down and knelt beside him.
"Stanley?" I asked. "What's wrong?"
"Candy," he whispered. And then he died.
He died?
I blinked twice and told myself I was not seeing what I was seeing.
"He's just drunk," I reassured Snowflake. "He passed out."
But then, why were his eyes open like that? I reached for his wrist. No pulse. I checked for breathing. Nope. I shook him and called his name a few times. Nothing. Nothing. The gravity of the situation finally dawned on me, and I jumped up.
"CPR!"
I shouted at the cat. But Snowflake doesn't know CPR, and I remembered that I don't either. I screamed a four-letter word and lunged for the phone. 20 minutes later, a Clarence police officer was standing in my living room, hovering over me, my couch, and Candy's dead fiancé. I stared down at Stanley, willing him to start breathing again, while Captain Wilson Rye kept repeating the same questions about how I knew Candy, how I knew her boyfriend, and, here was the tricky part, what he was doing lying dead on my couch. I imagined Candy would wonder about that, too.